Blog Talk Radio.
Steps to Christ, Chapter 4, Confession. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. The conditions of obtaining mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome pilgrimages or perform painful penances to commend our souls to the God of heaven or to expiate our transgression. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. The Apostle says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed." James 5:16. Confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty to freely forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sinned against his Creator and Redeemer. The case is brought before the only true Mediator, our great High Priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity. Hebrews 4:15. Those who have not humbled their souls before God in acknowledging their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. If we have not experienced that repentance which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin, and if we have never sought, we have never found the peace of God. The only reason we do not have remission of sins that are past is that we are not willing to humble our hearts and comply with the conditions of the word of truth. Explicit instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way, or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 34:18. True confession is always of a specific character, and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that could be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them. Or they may be of a public character, and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which you are guilty. In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They were suffering the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God, lost their discernment of his power and wisdom to rule the nation, lost their confidence in his ability to defend and vindicate his cause. They turned from the great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as were the nations around them. Before they found peace, they made this definite confession: "We have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." 1 Samuel 12:19. The very sin of which they were convicted had to be confessed. Their ingratitude oppress their souls and sever them from God. Confession will not be acceptable to God without sincere repentance and reformation. There must be decided changes in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away. This will be the result of genuine sorrow for sin. The work that we have to do on our part is plainly set before us. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15. Paul says, speaking of the work of repentance, ye sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil he has committed, and unless he yields to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he remains in partial blindness to his sin. His confessions are not sincere and in earnest. To every acknowledgment of his guilt he adds an apology in excuse of his course, declaring that if it had not been for certain circumstances, he would not have done this or that for which he is reproved. After Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, they were filled with a sense of shame and terror. At first, their only thought was how to excuse their sin and escape the dreaded sentence of death. When the Lord inquired concerning their sin, Adam replied, laying the guilt partly upon God and partly upon his companion, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The woman put the blame upon the serpent, saying, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Genesis 3, 12 and 13. Why did you make the serpent? Why did you suffer him to come to Eden? These were the questions implied in her excuse for her sin, thus charging God with the responsibility of their fall. The spirit of self-justification originated in the father of lies and has been exhibited by all the sons and daughters of Adam. Confessions of this order are not inspired by the divine spirit and will not be acceptable to God. True repentance will lead a man to bear his guilt himself and acknowledge it without deception or hypocrisy. Like the poor publican, not lifting up so much as his eyes unto heaven, he will cry, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And those who do acknowledge their guilt will be justified, for Jesus will plead his blood in behalf of the repentant soul. The examples in God's word of genuine repentance and humiliation reveal a spirit of confession in which there is no excuse for sin or attempt at self-justification. Paul did not seek to shield himself. He paints his sin in the darkest hue, not attempting to lessen his guilt. He says, "Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Acts chapter 26, verses 10 and 11. He does not hesitate to declare that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. The humble and broken heart, subdued by genuine repentance, will appreciate something of the love of God and the cost of Calvary. And as a son confesses to a loving father, so will the truly penitent bring all his sins before God And it is written, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. End of chapter 4.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brothers and sisters. We want to thank our Lord and Savior once again for us coming to the prayer line to be able to fellowship. So let me begin with a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come to thank you once again, Father, for this prayer line. We come to thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace and your mercy that you have given to us, Father, that we can come to you, Father, and seek forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, because you love us, oh, Father, if we are sincere of heart, we thank you so much for this day that we was able to see. Another day, Father, you have given us that we can come to you, worship, and give you praise, honor, and glory. Heavenly Father, as we are on this prayer line, we asking for your Holy Spirit tonight to bless us, to lead and guide us, and Father, to have your children to come to the prayer line to give their testimonies, praise, songs, whatever they have on their heart, to thank our Father and the Savior for blessing us tonight. So now, Father, we are here. We asking for all your children, Lord, touch their heart that they may share. Lord, let none be ashamed, but Father, let them praise you and give thanks so all can see that you truly is the God of heaven and you are to be worshiped. Thank you so much, Father. I'm asking that you would also fill us with thine Holy Spirit. And please, please, Father, send your Holy Spirit upon this prayer line to help us to know you, to seek you, to do all we need to do, Father, to know you and to understand your word. For the blessing of your word tonight to fill our heart and teach us, help us to be all we need to be in you. And we ask all this in the worthy name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I want to thank you for joining Advent Light Ministry tonight. We welcome all. We welcome you from all parts of the United States, overseas, other countries. We ask that you would just keep everything in prayer. Pray that God is working his righteousness in every one of us. So brothers and sisters from afar, know that Advent Light Ministry is always praying for you and your family. So please, you keep all of us in prayer. Let us pray together. And as you listen to this prayer line, may God bless you and keep you and help you to know him better. Amen. Thank you. And now we're going to begin to read. We're reading from Philippians. I was doing my little study on Philippians this morning, and I said, you know, Lord, I would like to share this with my brothers and sisters. So I'm sharing in Philippians, okay, verses 12 through verses 16. And it said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. And I just want to thank God for his word. And I'm asking that each and every one, you can share and you can press one and praise the Lord for your praise and your blessings. So I will begin opening the line, my brothers and sisters. I'm asking that. Give me just a second. Amen. I see one. I'm opening the line for 4-5. Your line is open, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen. I'm going to say the number again because I know she has it on mute, and she's about working.
Amen.
She's
yes.
Working. Amen.
Amen. Yes, I'm out in the garden helping a sister. Yes, I was on mute. Good evening, Sister Leola. Sister Carla, thank you for opening up my line. I'm just thanking the Lord for another day and thanking him for his mercy, his love, his provision, health, and strength. It's just been a blessing to be helping my dear sister. She lost her husband in April, and, you know, I've been coming over to help her, and it's been such a blessing. So I just want to thank the Lord for that. And I just want to read something from Psalms 13, Psalm chapter 13. And I'll start at verse 1. It says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the righteous shall eat violence." Verse 3, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desired and had nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." So we ought to be like the diligent, you know, getting the necessity of things that we need now before the time of trouble, before another lockdown or whatever that they're trying to do. Get all we need so that we can have provision for our family and ourselves, and that we should be as the wise, you know, do good to others. And, you know, there's another verse that we praise God with our mouth and we curse others, and we ought to be, you know, having good instruction, warning the people of Christ soon coming, and just preaching the word, be in season and out of season, as we're doing on this prayer line, as it is reaching many others throughout the world. So I just thank the Lord for his mercy, his love, and his provision, and also his families and friends that we have. So thank you, Sister Leola.
Thank you, my sister. What a blessing. You hear? My sister is serving others. She's helping this widow to around the house, and that's what God has called for us to do. Thank you so much, Sister Carla, to bring that to the prayer line, because this is the thing that God would like for us to do, to help others and to know that what Christ did for us, and he showed us his example. So I'm just thanking God giving me the example of others on my brothers and sisters help teach me the how God is working in their lives also. So thank you, Sister Carla, for coming on and sharing and also blessing us with that that encouraging news. And also we're gonna lift up Sister Carla, because I know that she is a very hard worker in the garden, and that God keep her safe. Amen. So we're gonna thank you once again. God bless you. So we're gonna go to the next caller, as we have brothers and sisters. I would like to see some hands up. Amen, amen. We're going to open the line for 518-951. We're going to open your line. Amen.
Okay.
Give your name.
All right, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters on Advent Light Sunday night. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. And you know what? It's a good thing that we can come to reason with the Lord and to present our request to him. I was reading this morning, and this is from Luke 11. And my dear beloved, Jesus wants us to do what he has done. It said, we start from one and few. It said, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, who was praying? So when we are here on the live prayer line praying and giving thanks, you know, this is the blessings that, you know, God wants us to do. And that is his example. He said, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, right, that after he stopped praying, one of his disciples came to him. And the disciple wanted him to teach him how to pray. Yeah? The disciple said, Lord, teach us, right? That means all of us, how to pray. And as John also taught his disciples, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven as in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sin, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which one of you have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is not shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. You hear what the friend said? Trouble me not. I don't care. I don't business. Who come midnight? I am in my bed with my children. I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to ask my brothers and sisters to continue to read. And this is Luke 11. What this man is saying, right? A friend come to him and need something, and that friend, he believed that he would help him, right? And he said, no, I can't. I am inside with my family. So the Lord is showing us all these reading and promises that is here is for us to know that God wants us to love our brother, love our sister, just as how we love our friend, our children, you know, we're supposed to be able to be caring, sharing, sympathizing, and to help those who are out there. So I thank God for his word, my dear beloved. And this is a praise report now. You know, this is a friend. I was here after the meeting, Sister Leela, and I don't understand. And I don't. And I was there pondering that, you know what, I am here over nearly a month now. I came and I was said, oh, my project, you know, my project is actually nothing. I haven't heard anything, but I am going to trust God, you know, for what he is going to do. Called my daughter and we were talking, and my daughter said, Mama, God is in control. He will take care. And my dear beloved, we had a conversation, and in a minute, someone called, and the person called, Sister Powell, how are you doing? Good. And they said, I'm coming over. I promised something for your project, and I'm coming over. My dear beloved, I think the person is really out here. But I am saying, oh, God, you know, I'm on this line, and I'm just giving God praise and giving thanks for. And as I am here, one of my dear brothers here, he used to be on the line, and he just rise up right here with me here, and I want him to say hello to Advent Light, Brother Khalid.
Hello, Advent Light. It's such a pleasure to be back. I pray that God will be will continue to bless and keep each and every one of you. Blessings to those who are listening, and I pray that and those who are listening will continue to support this ministry. Amen.
Wow. Yeah, so excuse me, Lila. I will stop there for a minute, and then I will call back in.
Amen.
Okay, I will call back in.
Amen. You can go and talk to brother. And brother,
okay.
We just want to tell you, we all love you on this prayer line. We ask that you come and join us sometime because it is truly a blessing and we get some prayers answered and God will bless you, my brother. So I'm so happy to hear you on this prayer line. Come back and join us again. Amen. Thank you so much
Amen.
For joining us. Just saying those few words. God bless you. Amen. And we thank Sister Power for her work. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, a work. As my dear mother was saying, oh, this old lady. But I told her, I said, you're not an old lady. You're a young lady. So, brothers and sisters, she's been working hard. And if you think she's talking about an old lady doing all that work, no, my dear brother and sisters. God has given her so much strength to be able to do these things. What a blessing. And I'm so glad to hear the work that she is doing. I praise God for that. So now, brothers and sisters, in the line for 518-744, your line is open. Amen. 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 518-744.
Thank you.
Is open. Give your name and where you're calling from.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Leola. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York. And I was just listening to all the callers call in, and that was exciting testimony Sister Powell had. And, you know, what a blessing. Sister Powell is not an old woman. She is young at heart, and she has energy like I hope to have at her age. She is 20 years older than I am, and I want to be just like her when I get to be 20 years older. You know, God has been good to her because she has been faithful to him. So let us all take Sister Powell's example and continue to be faithful to the Lord. But I know I'm just thanking him for another day. I heard Sister Carla say she was outside, and I am still outside working. I have a few things I need to get done. I've been so busy helping my mom and dad and other people that I haven't done any of my work at my house. So today I was taking a few moments to try to get things going. I haven't done anything with my garden, and it's time to get the garden going. God has given us that opportunity, that privilege to grow our own food, and so we need to take advantage of that as we can, because there will come a time when we'll need this. Right now, I can go to the store and buy all the food I want, but there is coming a time, and I believe that it's not that far off, that we won't be able to go to the store and buy food, so we need to learn to grow our food, and God has given us this time to do that. I believe Sister Carla mentioned a time to prepare, and so this is that time, brothers and sisters, for us to prepare, to learn, to practice these things, because when the time hits that we won't be able to buy food, if we haven't prepared, we'll be caught unawares, and that's not a good thing. Now, I'm very excited about the project in Louisiana, too. We talked about that today with the Advent Lights team, and things are going very well for plans in Louisiana to go out and reach a fairly large group of homeless people. And I just want to keep that before the people, that we can keep this project in prayer. It's exciting to hear all that is going to be going on, and we're going to be waiting anxiously for appraised reports after this project is done, which I believe that is starting on June 21st, I believe, Sister Leola, is what the date that was set. And that's not that far away, so let's please keep that in prayer, that all the plans for the Louisiana outreach project go well, and that they can reach these homeless people, and they can be blessed as we are blessed. But Sister Leola had mentioned going to be making up some t-shirts for the team members to wear down there, and she wanted this on the t-shirt, which is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. I'm going to read 13 and 14, but this is going to be on the t-shirts of the team members working. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And wow, what a verse. Fear God, keep his commandments, and that is our duty. If we will do that, God will take care of all the rest. He's not asking us to do everything. He's just saying, you do your little part, and I will make up for all your inadequacies. You don't have to worry about the money. You don't have to worry about the time. I will take care of those things. But then the reason that we need to fear God and keep his commandments is God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So our reward for keeping God's commandments and for following him is going to be eternal life. We get to see our Lord and Savior in heaven and be with our Father God in heaven for eternity. So God doesn't just ask us to do something like, okay, I need you guys to worship me because I'm a tyrant and I just want this worship. He's asking us to worship him, and he is going to reward us for that many times over anything that we could do for him. So it's just a beautiful message. And I just thank Sister Leola for bringing that up, because that is just an awesome verse to have on a t-shirt as going out to serve the people. And some of these people may not know this message. Some of them may, if some of them do know it, and even though they may be homeless, maybe that will spark some memories of a good time when they were actually seeking the Lord and serving him. And those who don't know it, it'll bring it to their attention so they can start asking questions. So I'm just excited about that. And I hope my brothers and sisters will keep that in prayer. Please keep me and my family in prayer. Everything is going quite smoothly for me at the moment. But as we know, that could turn around in a heartbeat. But I'm just waiting on the Lord. He's been good, and he will continue to be good. And so I just thank you for your prayers. I want to keep Brother Eli in prayer. I know he was, I just spoke with Brother Eli today, and he was kind of sad today because Brother Javel was saying that Brother Eli was bothering him, was being mean. And we know Brother Eli. He has a beautiful heart. He is just the kindest soul you'd ever want to meet. And so Brother Eli and I prayed together, and I just wanted to lift up Brother Eli right now. I'm sure he is listening, or if he isn't, he will be on soon. But I just wanted to take a moment, Sister, and just lift up Brother Eli. And also Sister Tamiko. I know that she and her daughter are still looking for a home to move to, and I haven't heard whether she has found anything yet, but I always like to remember Sister Tamiko. She has a beautiful heart, too, and like so many of our listeners. But these two special people, I always think of when somebody talks about the love of Christ, because they are both so loving and kind. And so I just wanted to say a quick prayer. Lord, I just lift up Brother Eli tonight. Lord, he is having a hard time today. He was sad because Brother Javel was not being nice to him. Lord, we know that it's the enemy attacking Brother Javel and trying to get to Brother Eli through him. But Lord, we know that you are stronger. we can keep Brother Eli. We can brighten his spirit. Let him know that you are there, you love him. And no matter what comes his way, you will always be there taking care of him. He knows that, Lord. So please just continue to remind him of that. And Lord, I pray that he would take his cares and worries to you in prayer. As you said, the song says, take it to the Lord in prayer. And Lord, we are doing that right now. So Father, bless Brother Eli, his mom, his friends, Lord, and his ministry, Lord. He is such a great light for you. And Father, I want to lift up Sister Tamiko. She's always kind, and she's got such a loving heart. Do you just lift her up? Her family, her husband, her son, her daughter, and her mom. Her heart has not been good, Lord. So we just lift each one of them up to you, Lord, and we know that Sister Tamiko and her daughter are looking for a home. We just pray that you would assist them, or that you would lead them to the right place for them to stay. It's always nice when we have our own place to stay, Lord. You have blessed most of us, many of us, with homes, and Lord, we're just asking that you would bless Sister Tamiko and her daughter with a beautiful place to stay, Lord. So just thank you for watching over them, Lord, for guiding them, for blessing them, for keeping them. Especially be with Sister Tamiko's mom and her health issues, Lord. We just lift them up to you. Guide us tonight, Lord. We thank you for the prayer line. We thank you for those who have who come on each time we have a night and a host, Lord. Sister Leola, Sister Carla, Sister Powell. Lord, we're just grateful for them. Please continue to bless and guide them. We thank you, Lord. Please give us your Holy Spirit. We need that desperately these last days. We thank you, and we praise you, Lord God, for being our God, for never leaving us nor forsaking us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Sister Leo.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Brother Rick, for offering those prayers. And I'm just so grateful to all my brothers and sisters on here that we lift one another up in prayer. And we're going to lift you up in prayer in our prayer, Brother Rick. We give God the praise. Thank you so much for joining us. And also, Sister Powell, he mentioned the Louisiana mission. So just mention that to our brothers and sisters. We got a work to do. And as we do this work, God will get the praise. Amen. And
amen.
Brother Rick, God bless you. And Brother Akeem will be on tonight, brothers and sisters. I just wanted to let everyone know. And so we're going to thank Brother Rick, and we're going to go to the next person. Thank you again, Brother Rick, for coming on and also sharing and praying for everyone. Amen. And brothers and sisters, we're going to open the line. We got brothers and sisters, we got a line here waiting. So let us open the line for 518-985. You was next in line. Okay.
My line?
Yeah, your line.
Okay, all right, sorry. Okay, all right. Yes, my dear beloved, sorry to that I cut. But you know what, sister, my dear sister, God is so good. God is so great. You all hear from Brother Kadek. He was, the first we started our line, all these individuals used to be there. His little son used to play the piano for us. And you know what? He just came in right time to, you know, greet the line. And he said, the line is still going on? I said, yes, my dear, our line is still going strong. So I just thank God that he was able. But I'm going to give you guys a little praise report. And this is a praise report that, you know what? Whatsoever we do, do it to bring glory to God and do it in the honor and glory of God in everything. As we have been planning the Louisiana outreach program, will be in June. My dear beloved, we're asking you to continue to pray for it because our brothers and our sisters is out there. And as I read a while ago, what Jesus do, everywhere he goes, what he did, he prayed, right? And his disciples with him, and his disciples want him to teach them how to pray. And he did teach them how to pray the Lord's Prayer, and he broke it down, and he let them know that praying every way, you have to love your neighbors. You have to do good to others. Treat others like how you would like to treat them. And this little part in the word told us that a man came dear to another brother and was asking for a loaf of bread because his had some friend came in, and the friend told him, no, my children and myself in my house sleeping, I can't go and give you no bread, right? No, we reject from giving, from helping. So all these things is telling us, my dear beloved, if we are in Christ, we're supposed to be our brother's keeper. So that is good. So the praise report now, my dear beloved, the project that we are doing in Jamaica, Advent Life, the whole of us, are a part of that project. Before I came on the meeting, called my daughter and we're talking and said, it was 4 weeks now, actually near 4 weeks, and I did not do nothing done before, you know, for my leave. And I said, Lord, what must we do? And I called my daughter and we're talking, and she said, Mama, you just trust God. God is going to allow you to start back. He just paused a little, and God is able to bless. And my dear beloved, as we finished talk, the phone rang, and somebody came on the phone and told me that, you know, are you doing, Sister Powell, and call, you know, we were just here sharing. And the individual said, I'm coming over, bring something for you that I promise you towards the prayer. My dear beloved, who could it be besides Jesus? He said, before you talk, before you ask, I hear and I will answer. It wasn't not even 15 minutes, you know, I thought the conversation, and there was God made. He answered it right there. So I just want to say to my brothers and sisters on the line, despite of what you are going through, despite of let nothing stop you more than have faith in God. Trust God. God promised that he will take care of our children if we just be faithful and be obedient to his will. God will take care, and he's not going to see none of his children suffer out there or begging bread if we be faithful. So my prayer today to every one of us, let us continue to work together. Let us continue to trust him. Let us continue to have faith in him that his word has to be fulfilled before his second coming. Thank you. God bless.
Amen, amen. Thank you. A mouthful, Sister Powell. Well, we want to thank the Lord for all these words, because truly, it is a blessing. And don't you know, sisters and brothers, that was the first thing I learned is the Our Father prayer. That's what they taught us how to pray. And I thank God. If anybody have a problem, start with the Our Father prayer, because that's how we're supposed to begin it. So we thank Sister Powell for that. And we also thank her for her work that she's doing in Jamaica. So we're going to lift that up in prayer and give it to God. And we know God hears those prayers. He's going to bless us. But I want to say thank you, Sister Powell, and I want to go to the next line because we got a few others that press one. So thank you once again. And we're going to go to the next line. We're going to open this line for 843-206. Your line is open. Amen. Hold on. Can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. This is Sister Tymiko from Florida, and I'm just so grateful to be here tonight, and I'm so grateful that Elder Rick said a prayer for me. It is such a blessing. So praise the Lord. God is so good, and he's so worthy to be praised. I give him all praise and honor and glory and adoration, and I praise him every day. And I'm praying for each and every one of you in my home, in my prayer closet. So I just want to share a Bible scripture with each and every one of you tonight, my beloved, taken from Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. Amen. And it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. Praise God. So, my beloved sister, I do have a song I'd like to sing, but if there's not enough time, maybe I could sing it at the end of the meeting. It's up to you, Sister Leola. Amen.
We can let you sing it right before we go into prayer. Amen?
Okay.
And amen. But we want to thank you, Sister Tamika, also for your prayers that you pray in your prayer closet for all the sisters and brothers. And we thank you for coming on and sharing also. Thank you. And we love the Psalm 100. Amen. So we're going to go to the next caller.
Okay.
Yes, you're welcome.
You.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, the next caller is 857-505. Your line is open, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Amen. Amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, my beloved on the prayer line. My name is Brother Eli. I like to give thanks to the Lord because Sister Miola, God is good. He's merciful. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, my beloved sister, I would like to thank Sister Tamiko for praying for me too. I'm praying for her beloved mother, Sister Miola, her beloved mother, Dorothy. I'm lifting up Sister Dorothy in prayer. I'm praying for Sister Linda in prayer. I'm praying for Sister Tamiko's nephews and nieces, and I'm praying for her daughter and Sister Miola, my dear sister. I'm praying for my mother, I'm praying for my mom, Sister Miola. I'm praying for individuals too, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I already prayed for individuals and on my prayer closet. The same like Sister Tamiko does, Sister Miola.
Amen.
I do the same thing as Sister Tamiko. I pray for them on my prayer closet. And Sister Miola, my beloved, Sister Miola, my dear sister, my manager at the work, his name is Keon. Keon is making the others how to be friendly to me, and Keon is making them how to be friendly, how to be kind, and Keon's trying to tell the others to be kind and be loving, because Sister Miola, I hear a complaint against me. His name is Brother Javel, but Sister Miola, my dear sister, just like Sister Powell said, my dear sister, I gonna leave it to the Lord in prayer that God will do something for Brother Javel, that God will change him from his wicked way in the mighty name of Jesus. And Sister Miola, tell individuals to lift me up in prayer, because sometimes I feel, you know, Sister Miola, at work, sometimes I'm feeling stressed, but Sister Miola, I pray in my heart, I say, Lord, I say, God, please, God, help me to be strong, Lord. I say, God, help me to be strong, God. Amen.
Amen.
May God bless you all.
Brother Rick has already lifted you up in prayer. He said a powerful prayer for you. So we're going to come in on and just sharing and just telling the Lord how you feel. So thank you so much, okay? And we will lift you up in prayer. Amen. And we're going to go to some others that has pressed one, and we got to get everyone. So we will lift you up in the prayer, and the hour is coming up. Amen. So we're going to open the line for 518-650. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Good evening. Thank you for opening up my line. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany in New York. And I would like to read this Psalms here, Psalms 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He had made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He had given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He had showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Heavenly Father, as I come before you this evening, O God, nothing in my hands I bring. I come before you because I'm a sinner, and I know you will save me. So please, Lord, take away my unrighteousness, O God, and my sinful ways. Wash me and cleanse me and purge me and anoint me, Lord. Purify me and make me into what you want me to be. Lord, never leave me, never forsake. Always be near me to hear me when I cry, O God. When I'm lonely, oh God, please comfort me. Come near me, oh God, and just touch me with your holy hands and let me feel your presence. Heavenly Father, when no one cares about me, I know you care about me, oh God, and I know that your mercy and your truth endure it forever. Heavenly Father, you're the only one I have that I can tell all my problems and all my troubles, oh God. You never leave me, you never forsake me. And because you never leave me and you never forsake me, O God, I will trust in you with all my heart, O God. And I will lean not unto my own understanding. But, Lord, in all my ways I will acknowledge you, because I know you will direct my path. Be with this prayer line and all of us who are on this prayer line, along with our families, O God, I put all of us into your hand. O God,
thank
I put Sister Tamika, Brother Eli, Brother, all who are on this line, oh God, I put them into your hand. Help us to pray for each other. Help us to love each other. And help us to think about each other, oh God, as how you think about us. Help us to love each other as how you love us. Because, Lord, we do not love. We do not care, oh God. But, Lord, you love us. You care for us. And there is nothing too hard for you. So all we have to do is to put our trust in you, Lord, and I ask you to lead and guide us in the path of righteousness so that we can love like how you love us. Lord, continue to be with us in a special way, dear God. Wash us, cleanse us, mold us, fashion us, and make us into your likeness. Heavenly Father, take good care of us and help us to cling to you, Lord, to come near to you, to depend on you, Jesus, because you're the only source of our life. Use our light and our salvation. And because you use our light and our salvation, oh God, we have nothing to fear but to trust in you. When no one remember nothing about us, oh God, you remember us. So all we have to do, God, is just
have faith in you and to depend on you, because you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. When we are lonely, oh God, you're the only one that knows, and you will send your holy angel to tabernacle around about us. Lord Jesus, be with us in a special way. God, and guide us, oh God, and help us not to get discouraged, but to put our faith in you and to hold on to you, because you're the God who understands and you know all what is in our heart and all what we are going through. Father, your coming is near. Help us to be ready, oh God, and stay ready so that we can meet you in peace and to go home with, to live with you in ceaseless ages of eternity. Lord, some of us only know each other when we hear each other's voice, but away from that, oh God, we don't think about each other. But, oh God, I put everything into your hand this evening. You're a God who cares. You're a God who understands. Oh. And you will never leave your people. You will never forsake your people. You always be near your people, to hear your people when they cry. Lord, when our heart is lonely, you will strengthen us. So, Heavenly Father, have your way, Lord. I put every mother, every father, every child all over the world in diverse places into your hand this evening. I put every pastors, oh God. I put every ministers. I put all those who are at the head, oh God, that rule into your hand. Father, help us to be loving, to be kind, to be sharing, and to think about each other. Continue to have your way. Let your will be done. And when all is said and done, oh God, have your way in our life. Take full control of us. And let everything be done according to your will. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering, God. Each day is another day. You have blessed. We have not seen that day before. So help us, oh God, to give you thanks every second, because you kept us from all harms and all danger. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for answering my prayer. Thank you for what you will do for me, oh God, what you're doing now and what you continue to do. I pray and I give you thanks. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, we thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Father. Thank you, Father, for the prayer that our mother has prayed. Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Bonnie, for the prayer. I tell you, Sister, as our mothers continue to lift us up in prayers, my brothers and sisters, this prayer line is truly blessed. So thank you so much. So brothers and sisters, as we continue, we want you to know that as the mothers on this prayer line, they lift us up, they pray for us. And that is more than a reason to join for prayers. I just want to thank God for that, because it's truly a blessing. So we thank you, Sister Barnaby, once again for her prayers and her praise on this prayer. Even the scripture she raised, God is awesome. It's all his word is enduring forever. So we're going to open the next line, 4985-232. We open in your line. Amen. You can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I'd like to thank God for watching over us and waking us up. Thank God for all his blessings and all his mercy, grace, and his mercy. I'm going to read this prayer. Lord Jesus, may I never be ashamed of you or of your words. May I never shrink before men to speak your name in season or to declare your truth in the right way and the time and place. Give me wisdom, but also zeal. Zeal for your name and for your word. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful words. I just want to thank the Lord again, because he's been so kind, so merciful, and so true. And just like Savannah was saying, he loved us, and pray one for another, and we all God's children, and he loves us, so we have to all pray one for another and give him the love also, because God wants us to be lovable one for another. And like we do study and give each other, feed each other the word, spread the word, and, you know, and be trust in him. And give trust in him with all thy heart and know that he is God. And when you're lonely, you call him up. When you need him, you call him up. So we just want to thank her. Thank her for that long and beautiful prayer. And it goes a long way, and everything was done well. She said it all. So I thank her for that. Amen. Hey, Brother John, just want to ask for prayer, continued prayer for our family where we laid our nephew to rest. Amen. And Advent Light.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yeah, this is Brother John from Home, Louisiana. And I would like to say thank God for this prayer line and the blessings that, and the lessons. Yeah, the blessings and the lessons. I thank God for that, for this prayer line. And everything's been okay. We've been hanging in there and praising God up above. And I'm going to make it short, too, like my wife did. I just want to say that with this prayer line, I feel too blessed to be stressed, and with this prayer line, I feel too anointed to be disappointed. So God bless.
Right.
Amen.
All right, Brother John. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But I tell you, mm-hmm. Brother John is studying and getting him some blessings. So I praise God for that. So thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John, for coming on and sharing, and especially your prayers. And Brother John is just encouraging and just giving us some praise. I praise God for that. Thank you, Brother John, for all of your encouragement. And we're going to open the next line for 804. Amen. 238. Your line is open. You can give us your
good
name.
Evening,
you
good evening, everyone. This is Sister Katie. I have a prayer request for both of my little grandsons. They both are sick, and all of them is at the hospital right now. So I want prayer for them.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Sister Katie, we're going to offer up a prayer for your grandson, because it's when Sister Katie come on and she first won, she has a special request. So we're going to open the line for Sister Powell. We're going to ask Sister Powell to lift this up in prayer for you. We're going to hold on just a second. Sister Powell?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you here? Yes, Sister Powell,
yes,
I want to ask if you could. Amen, because I know you heard the request. Amen. Go ahead.
Yeah. And we have prayer ready along, so we're just going to pray for that overall prayer, right?
Okay.
Yeah, we can
pray, Sister Powell. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, my dear beloved, we have a special request from the Lord. So to present these two precious jewels that God has given unto us, Sister Katie, grandson. We know what God has done for those two little precious jewels, and he promised that he will continue to be with them. So we're going to pray, asking you all to bow your head and also whisper a little prayer. Jesus loved the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loved the little children of the world. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, thankful to know that we have a Heavenly Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Your children come before you this day, not because of any goodness that we have done, but because of what you have done for us on Calvary. We come this evening, dear Lord, on behalf of this special request of your little precious jewels, Sister Katie, two precious grandchildren.
Heavenly Father, yes. We have known them before they was born, and you had placed them in the womb of their mom, and you have brought them out, seek safe delivery, and dear Lord, there are a lot of little things that is happening to them, but you have kept them
yes,
in spite
Lord.
Of circumstances. And this evening, we come boldly to the throne to give you thanks and praise for those precious children. We thank you for the grandmother. Thank you for the the father, the mother, and the family member. And thank you for this little group that always presenting that those precious jewels to you. So, Heavenly Father, this morning, you said, you are the God that heal all our diseases. You are
yes.
the one who heal all our sicknesses. You are the one, dear Lord, Jairus' daughter. He was a young child, Lord, next
yes.
to death. And you are the one, dear, just your presence. And she was made whole. And there are several mothers who took to you. And you took them in your hands. You look into their wonderful face and you saw those smiles and you said, suffer, little children, do not to come unto me. And dear Lord, we saw what you have done. So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, this group here, Lord, your people are praying and are crying out to you. As the child
yes.
of them is in the hospital, we ask you to send your angel, 10,000 that angel at their bedside. Lord, we ask you to touch them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. We ask you to work through the doctors and the nurses and everyone who is taking care of those children, dear Lord. These children are presented to you just as Samuel. We remember the baby Samuel, the little boy Samuel. When you called Samuel, 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 and four times, Lord, he came to see Eli. And when he came to Eli, Eli said, go back and listen. And the fourth time he came to little Samuel to tell Samuel what Eli's house had been doing, and he is not talking to his children, but we now here are talking
yes.
to you on behalf of those children. So we ask you, Lord, and we have faith to believe, to know that you are able. Nothing is impossible for you. And this evening, Lord, we just want to thank you for that touch, that you have touched those children and allow them to be made whole. Grandmother, mama, mother, and father is going to give you the praise and testify to others what you have done over and over and over again. So we just want to thank you. Bless this prayer line. And as we are preparing now, dear Lord, we have prayer go out and go up to you. And I know you
yeah.
hear them. Help us, Lord, to understand you more about you. And know you promise you will never leave your children if we are faithful. So, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. We present the speaker to you. Cover this brother, Akeem James, under your blood. Allow the words and blessings that coming from you will reach our heart and our life will be changed. And we as servants will be able to go to do your will. Thank you for each one of us here. And again, we present the Louisiana outreach program that's coming up, Lord. We ask you to bless it, help it, Lord, that soul will draw to you, know you, that they too can call and share your love. Thank you for hearing and serving our prayer. Bless each one of us, we pray, in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powerful, often for our little babies. And may God continue to be with those babies, in because we know they're in his hand. Oh, thank you, Lord. And now, brothers and sisters, we thank Sister Powell for the prayer. And now we are coming to the part that where we're going to ask Sister Tamiko. Sister Tamiko, we're going to allow you to sing the song. Brother Akeem is here. And, you know, we're going to open your line so you can song before Brother Akeem. We had promised her she can sing this song. So she's going to sing this song. She shouldn't make it long. Sister Tamiko.
Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Fiona. I appreciate that so much. Amen.
Brother Akeem is on with us, so we're going to give you time to sing that song. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. Amen. It's taken from Psalms 26, the book of Psalms 26. The song is taken from. And it says, walking in integrity. Praise the Lord. Amen. Please judge me, Lord. Observe my loyalty. Observe my trust in you. In my integrity. Examine me. And put me to the test, my mind and heart refine, that my soul might be blessed. But as for me, determined I shall be to walk eternally. I do not sit with wicked men of life. I hate the company of those who truth despise. Jehovah, please don't take away my life with men who take delight. And bribery and strife. But as for me, determined I will be to walk eternally in my integrity. For I have loved the dwelling of your house, your worship, oh so pure, I will expose, and I will march around your altar ground to make thanksgiving heard aloud throughout the land. But as for me, determined I will be to walk eternally in my integrity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Sister Leona, for opening my line so I can sing Walk in Integrity. Thank you so much. May it be a blessing to all my beloved brothers and sisters tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
All right. Thank you, Sister Tamiko. And now we will open the line for Brother Akeem, brothers and sisters. And I hope that you have your little writing tools and that you may need to take some notes. So we will open his line right now.
Hello.
May we be blessed with the word of God. Amen. Brother Akeem, your line is open.
All right. Amen. We're glad to be with you all this evening. And thank you so much, Sister Leola, for bringing me on and Advent Light and for the prayer as well. And just thankful for each and every one of you. And we'll continue with our study on the sixth seal and some more powerful truths connected with it, as it is revealed in the Word of God and the Spirit of Prophecy. So let's have a word of prayer as we head into this. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds, illuminate our hearts, strengthen us in you that we may be able to stand in light the days in which we live and in light of what the future holds. Lord, help us to be hid in you, to trust in you fully. And Lord, may it be that we will come so close to you in this generation and this time. Lord, you may be able to finish the work that you desire to finish, bringing an end to all suffering and pain. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, so last time, 2 weeks ago, we covered the subject of the 144,000 receiving the seal of God in their foreheads. And we saw along with that that the seal of God is not just, it is manifested outwardly in the fourth commandment because it is the seal of the living God. And we saw last time that the living God is another term for the creator God. The reference for that is Acts chapter 14, verse 15, where Paul and Barnabas were about to be worshipped by some pagans due to a healing that was done to through Paul to a person that was lame. And once the people saw this, they immediately proceeded to seek to worship Paul and Barnabas. And as this was happening, Paul warned them and said, don't do this, for we are men just like you, of like passions. It says, worship God who made, worship the living God, Paul actually says, who made heaven and earth and all that is in them. And so in other words, what Paul was saying is that the living God is another term for the creator, the one who created heaven, earth, all of the things that we see in our world. And so when it says the seal of the living God in Revelation chapter 7, we're talking about the seal of the creator, because the living God is synonymous with the creator. The word means the one who has life in himself to produce what has been made. And so as we look at this, friends, one of the things that I want us to realize is that the seal of God is connected with the sealing off of creation. The way that God sealed off creation was with the seventh-day Sabbath. And this is why, not by coincidence, as you look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, it actually has the components of what the ancient world would call a seal, principles that are still followed today, the principle of the three dynamics. One is the name, the title, secondly, and the territory, thirdly. In the fourth commandment, at the very end of the fourth commandment, you find that. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and it says the following in verse 11, in the fourth commandment. It says the following, chapter 20 and verse 11. It says, concerning the Sabbath, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. So notice that. For in 6 days the Lord, that's his name, made, that's his title. For the word there is the Hebrew word bara, which is only used for God. It is a it means to actually create, to create differently from how man creates. Man creates from substances that are already here. The creator can create just by his word. Just by his word, friends, the things that came forth in the earth on the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth day, all these things came forth by God's word. In other words, he is the creator, so hence you find the title. So the Lord, his name, made, creator, that is his title. What is the territory? Heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And then it states this, watch the sealing off. And rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, meaning to make it holy. So we see the name, the title, and the territory right at the very end of the fourth commandment, revealing to us that the fourth commandment, dealing specifically with the Sabbath, is the seal of the Creator. It is the seal of the living God, the outward sign in the life of our inward allegiance to God himself. Our inward, outward sign to our inward allegiance to Christ. And so when we look at Revelation chapter 7, and it talks about the 144,000 being sealed with the seal of the living God, it is to be sealed with the seal of the Creator. And how did the Creator seal off the week? He sealed it off with the Sabbath. Now, by coincidence, in the Sabbath command is the seal, the very signature of God, his name, his title, and his territory. So the Sabbath command manifested practically in the life is a sign at the very end. It will be the final sign that we are truly God's people. Now, you know what's powerful about this is because as we looked at last week, 2 weeks ago, we saw that it is not just the outward sign that will be significant. It's not just that the Sabbath will be the ultimate test. Friends, the reason that this day is so important is because it connects us back to the subject of righteousness by faith. It connects us back to the subject of righteousness by faith. And this is so vital because if we understand, yes, we have to keep a day in the end. That is important. But if we disconnect this day from the spiritual experience that it's calling us to, friends, which is the experience of righteousness by faith, we have missed the point of the Sabbath. The seal of the living God while a day is pointing us to an inward experience without which we shall not be able to stand. And what is the experience? Interestingly enough, the same place that the seal of God is placed, the forehead, is the very same place in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 1, speaking of the same group that sealed, the 144,000, it is the very same place where the Father's name is written, in the foreheads of the 144,000. So in other words, the seal of God and the Father's name is the same thing. In other words, the outward sign of allegiance to God's law, primarily in the last days, the Sabbath, is a revelation of an inward experience of having the Father's character. Those who truly live in harmony with the Sabbath command at the end are those who are in harmony with the Father's character. We understand that the Sabbath is not just a day to go to church. It's not just a day to have potluck. It's not just a day to gather with people who believe like we do. Of course, all of those things are part of it. But we understand that the Sabbath is not even just a day of don'ts. And that's what many Seventh-day Adventists have made it all about. But friends, if it ends there, friends, we will not have it the experience we need. And the Sabbath is not just a day of don'ts. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. I'm persuaded even now that the reason that many children, when they grow up, they have left Seventh-day Adventist homes is because the religious experience that is seen on the Sabbath, they have seen in the rest of the week. In other words, the religious experience of their family was a religious experience of don'ts. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. And friends, it's only so long that a person can live in that kind of situation. Hence, many families have pushed their children away from the true experience that God wants them to have because their religion consisted of do's and don'ts. And this is how many people keep the Sabbath. Oh, you can't go into the water and swim on Sabbath, which is actually stated in the spirit of prophecy, by the way. But it is in situations where things become extreme that we need to state those things. If we live like that, friends, Seventh-day Adventism becomes very unattractive. And it begins to destroy the very purpose that God originally intended. Christ, when he came to the people, Isaiah just tells us that he worked in such a way to show them a better way. In other words, the religion of God, the true religion of the Bible, became attractive to the people in the days of Christ. He was as a light, drawing the people, the true Sabbath observance, removing the traditions and restrictions that had been placed upon the Sabbath. And as he did this, friends, what did his Sabbaths mostly consist of? Friends, this is the truth. This is the coming to the fullness of what the Sabbath really is about. The major thing that Jesus did on the Sabbath, yes, there were many things he stayed away from. There were many things he didn't do. Yes, he did spend time with people. It is true. But friends, he spent time, one, with his Father. But two, he spent time people. In other words, many a Sabbath, Christ, the Sabbaths of Christ consisted of ministering to the people, of bringing healing to those who are downcast, to the downtrodden, of them, to the broken, mending them, being a medical missionary on that very day, healing men and women on the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath should truly be a day of service, not just, especially to those of the household of faith, this is true, but friends, especially to those who do not know the truth. It is to go out and to communicate the gospel, to serve, to connect with people, and to be able to serve the people in our communities. This is what Jesus did. And it is not until we do that work that we cannot fully, that we won't be able to fully enter into the experience of Christ. It is true that we experience Christ in the study of Him, and it is true that we experience Christ in worship together. It is true that we experience Christ in prayer. But friends, there's more of an experience that He wants us to also have as we go forth and serve. Because then, you see, we understand what it means when Christ was rejected. Because there will be times when we will be rejected. There will come a greater sense of understanding when a soul has received the truth. As we maybe we share a track with them, or maybe the word of God and encourage a soul, we see that our hearts are receptive. And it does, all of that does something to the human mind and heart. It draws the person closer to Christ, not just in theory, but in actual experience. Because now we are experiencing what it means when people receive the truths that Christ is bringing, and we also enter into His sufferings, in that sometimes we may be persecuted, sometimes we may be rejected. Friends, all of that is necessary, especially if we want to be a people that can stand in the last generation. Many people want the end to come, but they don't know what they're asking for. They don't realize that they're really asking, persecuted by the entire world. Many cannot even experience rejection from one person, yet alone 10, yet alone an entire world. But they want the end to come. In order for Christ to come, the crisis has to come before Christ. And what Christ is saying to us is, if we have not been daily in our community serving those within our sphere of influence, seeking to reach out to the people with even in our own system of faith, and going beyond that, and experiencing what it means to be received and to be rejected, to suffer and to be in joy as a result of the work of soul winning. Friends, oh, I tell you the truth, maybe in word many may say they want Christ to come, but in life they testify that they are not ready for Christ to come. They do not want Him to come. Because friends, if He came, if in order for Him to come, as I said, the crisis must come first. And if a man cannot be rejected by one person, by two or three or ten, he or she will not be able to stand when they are rejected by an entire world. This is crucial, all right? So this is what Jesus is calling us into. He is calling us into this reality of truly experiencing what it means to live a powerful experience, and it's all summed up in how we keep the Sabbath. Is the Sabbath a day of don'ts, or is it a day of showing people a better way while living in harmony with God's standards? Is it a day where we tell people you can't do this and that, and there's a time for that? But if the majority of Sabbath keeping is summed up in that, if when a person is asked, what do you remember when you went to meet a Seventh-day Adventist the last time on the Sabbath? Oh, well, I remembered that we couldn't do such and such, and they didn't do this and they didn't do that. If that is how we are remembered, if that is how we are known, oh, friends, this is not what the people saw in Jesus. They saw many things to do. They saw many things that could be done to relieve the suffering of others. And in so doing, as we enter into that experience, the Father's name will be sealed into our foreheads. His character of self-sacrificing love will be revealed in our lives as we give our time, our resources, in order to help others on the Sabbath day. And then the ripple effects of that going all throughout the week itself. So what we do on the Sabbath becomes the experience of the entire week. This is God's desire. This is the Father's name now. The Father's character revealed, yes, in the keeping of a day, but it is also revealed that the day represents an experience which is lived out in the life, an experience of service. Why? Because Christ has been reproduced within. We have been connecting with him, and as a result, we have become alike, and the Holy Spirit has given us his life, so now it is lived out in our life. What was that life consisting of? Service. Why? Because heaven is service. The law of self-preservation is gone. The law of service is what leads to life. And it is serving people because we have something to give them. Why? Because we ourselves have been fed. That's where Bible study, personal Bible study and devotion, and prayer is crucial. Because as we go forth to give to others, we can only give what we have. We can only live a life of power and impact people and cause people to want to live that life if they see the power in us. And this is the experience which the Sabbath is a symbol of in these last days. It's more than just a day, friends. It's experiencing not just Christ imputed. That means his life credited to us. But it is experiencing Christ's life imparted. That is experiencing his righteous life, living out the very life that he lived. Because the Holy Spirit does a transplant once we receive Christ in taking of himself, in taking of Christ and giving that very life to us, recreating us, and out of a new creation comes a new experience. And what is the new experience? The very life of old that was lived 2,000 years ago. Perfection lived out now in the life of the believer. I pray that this makes sense, friends. And here I read at this point, this is where I read the aspect of what's coming, because as I said, many people want the end to come, but we really don't know what that means. We know what it means theoretically. But there are many, friends, if certain things were snatched from us today, friends, we would be furious. Some of us, we would lose our faith in God. Some of the most powerful people that seem to be the most powerful presentators today, if somebody hurt them or did something they didn't like, friends, many people perceive themselves to be ready. But they do not yet have the Father's name. They do not yet have the Father's name. There can be only two classes. Each party is distinctly stamped either with the seal of the living God or with the mark of the beast or his image. In the great conflict between faith and unbelief, that's what the issue is. So the reason that the Sabbath is the final testing truth is because it is the point of God's law that has been especially controverted. It has been aligned, maligned. It has been maligned. And as a result, God, in his wisdom, sees that the future holds, and he sees that this will become the major issue. The very point in his law that reveals that he is the creator, the point that Satan will seek to controvert the most at the end. But why was Satan attacking the law? Because it is a matter of faith. It was deeper than the day. It is a matter of faith or unbelief. In the great conflict between faith and unbelief, the whole Christian world will be involved. So usually we read, the last great conflict will be over the Sabbath. But when you compare testimony with testimony, you realize, whoa, why is it? Why is it that the Sabbath becomes the final, the final contest is over the Sabbath? The reason being that in keeping or not keeping it, in truth, as it is in Jesus, meaning a life of service, friends, it becomes a matter then of whether we truly trust God or not. Hence, it says here, in the great conflict, not over the Sabbath, even though it is, she goes deeper in the statement, in the last conflict between faith and unbelief. It is a righteousness by faith issue. The whole Christian world will be involved. All will take sides. Some apparently may not engage in the conflict on either side. They may not appear to take sides against the truth, but they will not come out boldly for Christ through fear of losing property or suffering reproach. All such are numbered with the enemies of God. You see how deep this thing goes? That's why if we are not willing to be maligned today, the person who is not willing to experience God is not ready. The person who cannot turn away and say, you know what, I'm not going to push back. I will walk away when a person speaks evil of them. And friends, I'm not saying that there are not times when we have to make certain things clear. We know that our pioneers against certain injustices that were taking place in their day, but it is in the sense of brother to brother. It is in the sense of father to daughter or son. It is in the sense of husband and wife. It is in the sense of children to parents and parents to children, about being misunderstood by friends. The person who cannot walk away, the symbolism of what Jesus said when he said, turning the other cheek, being able to walk away from a situation, and even though he is being reviled, just like Jesus, not reviling. Friends, the person who, as they drive on the road, when they are cut off, cannot say, God bless that individual and keep moving forward, but rather starts cursing and losing their temper. The person who at home, when husband does something that is irritating, the wife loses her composure, or vice versa, the husband who loses his composure, yet requires submission. And this is why it's so powerful. A husband that requires submission from his wife and keeps speaking about that while at the same time in his own life he is abusive in his words. He is wicked in his conduct. He treats her badly and does not take care of his home. She says that man is not worthy to be submitted to. Friends, yet there are many families when it comes to this point of respect and love, friends, they do not understand these points. And this is why when they start losing things in the end, because they could not approach these issues that they face presently with a Christ-like approach and surrender and patience, that when they were spoken evil of, they didn't go and speak evil of the person who was speaking evil of them, but move forward in what they had to do. When this time comes, they won't be ready. How we do things today prepares us for what's coming next. As we near the close of time, the demarcation between children of light and the children of darkness will be more and more decided. They will be more and more at variance. This difference is expressed in the words of Christ, born again, we were just talking about the new creation, created anew in Christ, dead to the world and alive to God, unto God. These are the walls of separation that divide the heavenly from the earthly and describe the difference between those who belong to the world and those who are chosen out of it, who are elect, precious in the sight of God. Family members are separated. Those who have been members of the same family are separated. A mark is placed upon the righteous. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them. As a man spareth his own son that serveth him, Malachi 3:17. Those who have been obedient to God's commandments will unite with the company of the saints in life. They shall enter in through the gates into the city and have a right to the tree of life. The one shall be taken. His name shall stand in the book of life, while those with whom he associated shall have the mark of eternal separation from God. This is why it's so powerful. The seal of God is the mark of eternal union with God. The mark of the beast is the mark of eternal separation from him. Because once you receive one or the other, the reason it's called a mark or a seal is because the character is eternally settled. Even if God were to give another 1 billion years, that person will not change from one to another, from darkness to light or from light to darkness. Now, it's interesting. As you continue reading, this is one of the things that's stated. It says here, the importance of practical benevolence. This is all in Last Day Events, chapter 15. It says, the decisions of the last day turn upon our practical benevolence. This is where we go back to service. Christ acknowledges every act of beneficence as done to himself. And this is why at the end we are told in Desired Ages, concerning Matthew 25, concerning the parable of the sheep and the goats, and how the sheep actually did good to those who are around them, the beneficent, those who were imprisoned. All of these things fed the hungry. All of these things, friends, it goes beyond just the knowledge or the truth. It was how Christ operated, his saints now operated, and as they operated like that towards other people, little did they realize they were doing it unto him. When the nations are gathered, here it is, and this is what it says. This is in Last Day Events, but it's also what I'm about to read. It's also in Desired Ages. When the nations are gathered before him, there will be but two classes, and their eternal destiny will be determined by what they have done or have neglected to do for him in the person of the poor and suffering. That is profound. Notice it doesn't say, as important as what I'm about to, these things are that I'm about to mention, notice what we will be judged on at the end. When the nations are gathered before him, there will be but two classes, and their eternal destiny will be determined by their knowledge of the prophecies. Their eternal destiny will be determined by an understanding of the 2300 days. Their eternal destiny will be decided by a mere understanding. Notice I said a mere understanding of the doctrines. Friends, no. These things are vital to our faith. But friends, what is our eternal destiny determined by? The answer, what we have done or have neglected to do for Christ in the person of the poor, suffering. Friends, this is why it is very sad that when you talk about helping the poor and suffering in our world today, because people are so politically divided, you begin to talk about helping the needy and the poor. Oh, no, that's not our work. That's the work of the Salvation Army. No, friends, we have to read Ellen White's statements in context. Oh, there's a person who's an orphan that needs to be taken in. No, that's not our work. These poor people, they don't really exist. It's just a cover-up. No one is really poor and really needs help. That's some argument of people who are politically progressive. No, friends. No. There are aspects on both sides, and this is why it is so deceptive. Parties are so deceptive, whichever side people stand on. It is so deadly because both sides are wrong, yet the reason that they are so attractive to so many people, lies are established in its most attractive setting when it is commingled with the truth. And that's why you have truths on both sides of the political spectrum and you have lies on both sides. This is why we are told not to choose parties. This is why we are told to support causes rather than choosing political parties. And so wherever those parties may agree with the truth, you say, okay, in this area we can go. But where they don't, we are divided. We separate. Upon this point, something important is suffering. If a people have all the theoretical knowledge in the world, yet they failed benevolence that the truth has taken hold of their hearts, they are lost in the end. Among the heathen are those who worship God ignorantly, those whom the light is never brought by human instrumentality, yet they will not perish. Though ignorant of the written law of God, they have heard his voice speaking to them in nature, and have done the things that the law required. Their works are evidence that the Holy Spirit has touched their hearts, and they are recognized as the children of God. This is why there are people, and notice where she says, in heathenism, among the heathen, that's Hindus, that's the Buddhists, any other religion that you can think of outside of Christendom, there are people there that are God's children. And that's why we have to be very careful how we speak against other movements and religions. How surprised and gladdened will the lowly among the nations and among the heathen be to hear from the lips of the Savior, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. How glad will be the heart of infinite love as his followers look up with surprise and joy at his words of approval. Now, I want you to notice this. Continues by saying, just as soon as the people of God are sealed in their foreheads, it is not any seal or mark that can be seen. This is why it goes deeper than just a day. It says, both intellectually, it says, but what is it? A settling into the truth, both intellectually and spiritually. So they cannot be moved. This is why I said, once you receive the mark or the seal, that person never turns back again. Just as soon as God's people are sealed and prepared for the shaking, it will come. Indeed, it has already begun. The seal of the living God is placed upon those, here it is, who conscientiously keep the Sabbath of the Lord. Those who have the seal of God in their foreheads, look at the fruit of it, must keep the Sabbath of the four commandments. So notice, yes, the Sabbath is the seal, but it is more so the outward sign of an inward allegiance, an inward sealing, an inward settling into the truth. And then she says it here, true observance of the Sabbath is the sign, and you can interchange that with seal, of loyalty to God. Right? This is all in Last Day Events chapter 15. The fourth commandment alone of all the ten commandments, of all the ten, contains the seal of the great lawgiver. We covered that at the beginning. The creator of the heavens and the earth. The original place for that, if you want it, Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6, page 350. The observance of the Lord's memorial, the Sabbath instituted in Eden, the seventh-day Sabbath, is the test of our loyalty to God. So you see, in one place she says the great test will be between faith and unbelief. In another place now she says the great test is what? Our loyalty to God and obedience to the fourth commandment. Why? Why two different things? Because they are one in the same. The reason that people will truly keep the Sabbath as it should be kept in the end is because they have faith in Jesus. They have trusted in him, in the things of life that are happening now, so that then they will be ready to stand. A mark is placed upon every one of God's people just as verily as a mark was placed over the doors of the Hebrew dwellings to preserve the people from the general ruin. God declares, I gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. Now, I want you to notice this. So in one section of Last Day Events, and friends, we went over much from the scriptures as we covered the seals. The reason now I'm going back now to the spirit of prophecy is to reveal what the spirit of prophecy now says concerning what we have studied. And we have seen from the scriptures itself that in the very place that the seal of God is placed in Revelation 7, it's the very place, according to Revelation 14, that the Father's name, his character, is placed, showing that the seal of God and the Sabbath are interchangeable. The seal of God, I should say, and the Father's name are interchangeable. The reason that this is important, the reason I covered this, is because the Father's character was ultimately revealed in Christ. So to have the Father's name is to have Christ's character, because Christ came to reveal what the Father is like. So therefore, the 144,000 have Jesus fully reproduced in their lives. Hence, the very next section in Last Day Events, chapter 15, action that is titled, What the Seal of God Is. You want to guess what the next part of it is? What's the next subtitle? The next subtitle is, a likeness to Christ in character. The seal of the living God will be placed upon those only who bear a likeness to Christ in character. Those who receive the seal of the living God are protected in the time of trouble. Those who receive the seal of the living God and are protected in the time of trouble, here it is, must reflect the image of Jesus fully. That is, his character. Now do you see what the Father's name is? It is the character of Christ, that character of practical benevolence, that character of service, that character of that while it was reviled, did not revile again, that while it was persecuted, did not persecute, while it suffered, did not bring suffering, while it was spoken against, it did not gossip. Friends, this is so powerful. It says the seal of God will never be placed upon the forehead of an impure man or woman. It will never be placed upon the forehead of the ambitious, world-loving man or woman. It will never be placed upon the forehead of men or women of false tongues or deceitful hearts. All who receive the seal must be without spot before God, candidates for heaven. What does that mean? AKA the righteousness of Christ, his very life, has been reproduced in them. Love is expressed in obedience, and perfect love casteth out all fear. Those who love God have the seal of God in their foreheads and work the works of God. That's wild. That a man or a woman, that I'm just even looking at my life, as sinful, as polluted as I am, that Christ says, I can bring you to a point where you work the works of God. Friends, that is mind-blowing. But this is what God promises to bring us to. If we depend on him day by day, those that overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil will be favored, would be the favored ones who shall receive the seal of the living God. And lastly, are we striving with all our God-given powers to reach the measure of the stature of men and women in Christ? Are we seeking for his fullness, ever reaching higher and higher, trying to attain to the perfection of character? When God's, now notice this, friends, this is the answer. Many people are wondering, sadly, even in Seventh-day Adventism, they're wondering, man, why hasn't Jesus returned yet? Some people are saying, well, it's just not the time. No, friends, there's a specific reason. Specific reason. And here's what it says here. Notice the statement. When God's servants reach this point, fully in the stature of Christ, that is, they will be sealed in their foreheads. The recording angel will declare it is done. They will be complete in him, whose they are by creation and redemption. Selected Messages, Volume 3, page 427. Friends, that is serious. The reason that the world has not yet ended, the reason that the angel cannot say it is done, following which almost every evil is unleashed in the world, four angels release their grasp from one another, and all chaos breaks loose, going all the way quickly through the seven last plagues to the second coming. The reason that these things have not happened yet, bringing an end to all suffering, is, friends, because God, since the time of 1844, has come to every generation and said, will you allow me to do this work in you? Will you allow me to settle you in the truth? Every generation has said no. As a unit, now there are some in those in each generation who said yes, but God is looking for an entire generation. And those people who said yes, they will be saved. But he is looking for an entire people who will say yes to him and will move forward unitedly. The generation in which God gets this is the generation in which the angel will say, it is done. That is God's dream. My prayer for each and every one of us as we pray is that we will allow ourselves to be so united with Christ that God's dream will be accomplished. That his dream for this, for what he wants to do in us will be accomplished, and a sealing work of this caliber will be done, bringing an end to all things. Father in heaven, I pray that these things made sense that we covered. Draw us ever closer to you, Lord. May we allow to be done in ourselves this work of restoring in us the character of Jesus fully. May he come and dwell within our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that indeed, Lord, all suffering might be brought to an end. All poverty, all sickness, all death. Lord, help us. Help me. I pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Yes, Father. Help us. I thank our brother, Pastor Akeem, for this message, because as he was mentioning, brothers and sisters, that character of Christ, I just have two scriptures. I want to read these scriptures, what Brother Akeem was telling us, and it comes in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and Galatians, and brothers, read that Galatians 5, chapter 5, read the whole thing. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In that character of Christ. And you know, sisters and brothers, you can read that whole chapter for yourself. With that character, we got to be, the Bible say, be ye therefore perfect. So let us pray together. As I always say, united we stand, divided we fall. So if we pray together, by God's grace, we'll see one another in the kingdom of God. So let us pray for one another that we can all stand. Amen. I thank you, my brothers and sisters, for coming on the prayer line. I want to thank Brother Akeem once again for this message week after week. He shared this with us. It's truly a blessing for us to learn together. So is there anything else, Brother Akeem, you would have for us? Or that would be it? You're done with everything. Amen. That's right.
Yes.
You're done, Brother Akeem?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So I just wanted to share that, Brother Akeem, because what you were saying, I wanted my brothers and sisters to read that chapter because that came to my
Amen.
Mind. So once again, brothers Amen. And sisters, I just want to thank you. May God bless you. And I'm going to end with this song. May God bless and keep you all. Amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem.